all of Preakness Stakes 144 War of Will Redemption in the Preakness. Welcome back to ExpressBet Radio here on HRRN. The Big A, Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld, joined now by trainer Mark Cassie, who got his first win in a Triple Crown event when War of Will got the money this past Saturday down in the Baltimore area. Mark, thanks for joining us this afternoon on ExpressBet Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
First off, congratulations. Have you ever had a win as sweet as this Preakness win with War of Will after everything that unfolded a couple of weeks ago down in Louisville?
It was probably our sweetest victory ever, but not, you know, for so many reasons. Not just that, but yeah, for a lot of reasons.
All the things.
It was the Preakness. That's the big one.
Yeah. And all the things you had to overcome. I mean, that's quite a saga that this horse went through from the Louisiana Derby forward. I mean, it just was an amazing feat that you could pull that off.
Well, I don't know that how much I had to do with it, but it helps when you have a great horse, and War of Will is an extremely talented horse, so we're going to give him all the credit.
You know, it's funny, Mark, when these races, the Triple Crown races, Breeders' Cup time, you get a lot of casual fans. So, and I had a few of my friends in the cigar shop ask me about War of Will the last couple of days, and basically, you know, almost like his story arc of the year. And I explained to them, I said, well, if you go back to when he was a two-year-old, he made his first four starts on turf. What made you switch the surfaces? And if you want, take us back all the way back that far, because he ran some bang-up races on the turf and eventually broke his maiden on the sloppy track at Churchill.
Yeah.
And was off to the races.
We had him at Saratoga, and he was training tremendous. But Saratoga is a funny place, especially when you run your two-year-olds. You've got to hustle. And he trained really well. But all along, you know, he is by Warfront out of Sadler Wells Mare. So in the back of my mind, I'm saying no matter how good he is on the dirt, he's probably better on the grass. So I came up with a plan with Gary Barber, and that was we were going to try to win the Summer Stakes, which is a grade one, winning your end. And I thought to do that, it would be better to get him started at Woodbine so he could have a race over the turf. And the first time I ran him up there in a maiden race, I didn't believe there was any way he would get beat. And he did. He didn't run that well. We then, afterwards, though, he started training again really good in Toronto. So we ran him in the summer, and he ran well. He finished second, got beat a length. And even at that time, we were still talking about dirt. But I said to Gary, look, you know, he just finished second in a grade one. I think he can win the Bourbon winning you're in at Keeneland. We got to give that a try. And he ran good there. I remember talking to Drayden Van Dykes. We couldn't find anybody to ride him in the Bourbon. And I called up Brad Pegram. I said, I think I have a pretty good horse. And I said, would you guys want to come ride him? They came and rode him. It looked like he was going to win. Graydon hit him, and when he did, he switched leads, and anyways, kind of lost focus, and he ran good. And then again, Gary was like, when are we going to run him on the dirt? And I said, Gary, he wanted to run him in the juvenile. And I said, look, we got a good shot to win the Breeders' Cup on the turf. I think that's where you got to go. And so we ran in it, and he ran extremely good race. He had a very bad trip. He ran like 60 or 70 feet farther than the winner, 90 feet farther than the second horse, something like that. It was just, thank goodness that happened, because if he'd won the Breeders' Cup on the turf, I don't know that I'd be talking to you today. We probably would have taken another avenue. Probably not, though. Gary Barber loves to go out of the box and do things. So after the race, when we lost the Breeders' Cup, he was like, good. Now we can run him on the dirt. So we decided that, you know what, he was there at Churchill. There was a nice race the last day. It's never a bad thing to find out whether your horse likes Churchill Downs. And we ran him, and it was a tough race. I said to Gary, I can remember saying to him, I said, this is no walk in the park now. This is a tough race. And he just played with him. I knew then when he won that day, I said, this is a special horse. In fact, during that winter, and, you know, during around Christmas time, I told a couple of friends, I said, we're going to win the Kentucky Derby this year with a horse called War of Will.
And, that's so out of your, that is so out of your character.
No, that. I know, because I'm usually, you know me, I'm kind of conservative, and I'm always, well, we'll see, you know, but that's just how much faith I had in him. He just does things that are just remarkable. And you go back, this horse had every reason not to show up in the Kentucky Derby, but he did. He had even more reasons not to show up in the Preakness, but he did. And that's what makes him so special.
So let's talk a little bit about why he had every reason to not show up in the Kentucky Derby, and that's the Louisiana Derby. He's 4-5. He's run roughshod over everything down the bayou this winter. Easy wins, easy enough wins in the LeCompte and the Risen Star. I'm sure that you've talked about this ad nauseum already, but for our fans, what happened in the Louisiana Derby that day?
We don't know exactly for sure, but... And I want to say this, looking back, he got away, and it was weird, but he stumbled behind, and he lost his action a little bit for a second. I mean, it happens, but his was pretty significant, and it was enough. He pulled a muscle or something, and the amazing thing, he was fine the next day, so we've dodged a lot of bullets. And then looking back, maybe we didn't have him as cranked up for the Louisiana Derby as we should have. I can see a different horse. When we started, then we knew we were behind the eight ball, and I was glad we had 6 weeks. So then we started training him a lot harder. And when you saw him Derby week, he was the epitome of fitness. And, I mean, he was so well-defined, his muscle tone. He had trimmed up. He looked like... you remember the Rocky movies when Rocky wasn't engaging afterwards and he was heavy and then he got beat up and then all at once he became, you know, mean. The Eye of the Tiger, I guess it was.
Rocky III, yes, sir.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with War of Will. After getting beat up in the Louisiana Derby for, you know, different reasons, he became Rocky. And he, you know, he was fit and trim, and, you know, who knows what would have happened. There were lots of incidents. I call it the big event, but there was some stuff before the big event also that it didn't help our chances. So, you know, but that was the Derby, and did it make the Preakness sweeter? Probably, you know, I was just... I'd want to win the Preakness on any given day. So, you know, it was great.
Were you and I talked Derby week and about how keen he was in the mornings. He was really pulling every morning until the Thursday before the Derby. And he just couldn't have galloped any better. But you think that 6 weeks maybe was a long time off and he maybe wasn't just 100% fit for the Derby?
Well, look. You can train them until the cows come home to go, but to go a mile and a quarter against the best 3-year-olds in the world or in North America on a track that it wasn't the kindest, you know, maybe he was only 98% or 97% fit. But I think a lot of the reasons, and I'm not going to tell you who I texted to you, but about 2 hours before the Derby or Pimlico for the Preakness, I got a text from a friend, and he goes, I love your horse. I just don't know that he can get a mile and 3/16. And he said, because he flattened out late. I said, well, he had plenty of reasons to flatten out. But I said, to me, there's two things. If they both, these two things happen, they will not beat him. I said, if he breaks and he settles, they won't beat him.
Yeah, and I got in a fight with a guy about it. Because he said the same thing. I got in a fight with a guy about it because he said the same thing to me. He goes, oh, that horse backed up in the stretch. I said, do you realize all the things that horse had to overcome? I said, 6 weeks off, and then he gets bothered. And I mean, I just was appalled. And he pulled too much.
You know, he pulled too much down the backside.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard, but we changed strategies a little bit. We had him warmed up and cranked up because I probably underestimated the speed of some of the competition in the Derby. I thought even from the one hole, if we hustled, that we could be on the lead or pretty close to it. I mean, we came away from there firing, but there were three or four horses that out-sprinted us. So then we got into a mess because here we turned the afterburners on to get him rolling, and now we trying to turn down the fuel a little bit to try to get him to relax, and he wouldn't do that. So Tyler and I talked to him the day before. I called Tyler. I said, I want to talk to you because I want to make sure we're straight on this. I don't want to wait until we're in the paddock and, you know, there's too much going on. I said, I want you to jog him and walk him in the post parade. I want you to keep him as calm as you can and let the first flight of horses go. And I said, if he breaks like a rocket and he's on the lead, fine. But if not, let's see if we can't get him to relax and let those horses go at it and just sit behind him. And that's what we did. Even in the Derby, when the big event happened, we were moving. We were moving. We were getting ready to engage, Maximum Security. And I don't know what would have happened, but you got to remember, Maximum Security got away with one of the slowest second halves or third quarters or halves in the history of the Derby. So he was sitting there. He used his speed, and Maximum Security's got some tremendous speed. He used it to make the lead, and then he got out on the lead and shut it down, which is, you know, that's what a good rider can do and a good horse can do. So when we came to him, when all the horses came to him, that's why he spurted away again. You know, he had been he'd gotten a breather, he spurred away, and make no mistake about it, Maximum Security is an extremely good horse.
I got to ask you this, Mark. You think you'd have won the Kentucky Derby if he gets through?
Oh, I'm not even. I wouldn't even. I can't. I wouldn't even. I don't think. I read where Andy Beyer said he only lost a length in the in all of that, and I would say, and my reply was to all that, and that's why I don't answer that, is only God knows, and a few experts that think they're God. I'm not even going to begin to touch that one. I do know this. The only thing I know for certain is it would have been a horse race.
Fair enough. I think you'd have won the Kentucky Derby. So, I will be completely honest with you. He's made me a believer because I'm one of these, you know, I was one while he was at the fairgrounds all winter and what's down there. And this horse turned me into a believer. That Preakness was one of the.
The interesting thing about that, and I said it when it was happening. I don't know if you saw my comments, but down even in this first race, which was the LeComp, he encountered some problems going in the first turn. He overcame them. I saw the same thing out on Omaha Beach. I told everybody Omaha Beach will be very tough to beat because him and Wow possess the same thing, and that is the ability to take off when you ask them to go. And then in the Risen Star, we drew the 13 hole, which is a tough post. Tough post down in New Orleans because it's a quick run to the first turn.
Sure.
And everybody said, oh, he's going to get beat. And I said to Gary, I said, this is a good thing. I said, he's some experience. It'll help him down the road. And I said, if he's good as we believe he is, it won't matter. And, of course, he won. So, you know, the thing about him, and I don't know if you see it, but he does, and he did it even a little bit in the Preakness. When he makes the lead, he starts kind of loafing.
He idles a little bit.
Yeah, he does. He did it in New Orleans. But if you ever watch, as soon as those horses come up to him, he takes off. Even in the Preakness galloping out, he took off again, and the outrider had to catch him. So he does
cool
idle
horse.
When he makes the lead.
He's a cool horse. Talking with trainer Mark Cassie, trainer of War of Will. And then we officially have, Jude, that Wow is okay. Mark referred to him as Wow, so we can go ahead with Wow the rest of the way. A couple of things, Mark, before we let you go. Belmont Stakes on the radar, less than three weeks away.
Yeah, that is the plan. That's the plan.
Pretty remarkable. Did you ever think after everything that happened in the Louisiana Derby that you'd be the only one as of right now to run on all three legs of the Triple Crown this year?
Well, no. It's funny, after the Louisiana Derby, Gary Barber and I had some conversations, and he's like, I just don't know if we can do it. I said, Gary, have faith. If Classic Empire could make it to the Derby after all he put me through, I said, well, this will be a piece of cake. So that's where I think sometimes the experience, you know, I've been doing it 40 years, so you go back and you remember things that were been thrown at you in the past, and you build on, you remember those, and you go and do that. But to sit there, after the Kentucky Derby, I was just happy to have him, because we were inches from, you know, maybe him losing his life, maybe riders losing their lives, and other horses, and that's why you saw me. If anybody saw me, you know, I was a little emotional the next day talking about it, because I felt I not only was it about the horse and the riders, but it was about horse racing. That could have been that could have been it.
I think it would have been it. I agree with you. And you were as classy as you always are. And that video circulated around social media. And, you know, it's funny. It hits you as a lifer like you in the sport. There were probably a handful of people that you would have wanted to be in the position you were in Sunday morning. And you were one of them. You were on a very, very short list of people that I think, you know, the media folks like us don't agree on a lot more often than not. I think we'd all would have agreed that if we had to pick three or five guys or gals to be in that spot, you would have certainly been on that list to be the one representing us to, quite frankly, the world at that point. So we can't thank you enough for that, and you did a fantastic job as always.
I appreciate that. You know, I try to somebody sent me a thing, because, of course, we were up for the Hall of Fame again this year, and we didn't get in it. And I can't tell you that it wasn't a little disappointing. But somebody sent me a text and said, you're in my Hall of Fame, and more importantly, you're a wonderful, wonderful human being. And I said to him, the second means a lot more to me than the first. I, of course, would like to be in the Hall of Fame. But in the end, I when they bury me or whatever happens to me, maybe not buried, the ashes, I mostly I want people to say, hey, Mark Cassie was a good guy. And I hope you see that each and every day. I'm not perfect. I do get upset sometimes. I got upset after there were comments made about my horse and rider. They're my kids. And when you mess with my kids, you will feel my fury, and I said something, and I said it in a like this, and the next thing I know, somebody sent it to me, and it was in the headlines, and I said, well, where was this headline? They said the New York Post. I said, oh, that's lovely.
You're nobody till you make it in the New York Post. Yeah. You're getting the Hall of Fame now.
Anyway. Just ask me. Yeah. You'll get in now. Mark,
so now
before we let you go.
Saying that word, I'm saying irritated. I was irritated.
Before we let you go, a few comments about Tyler Gaffione.
What can I say? You know, you alluded to the accomplishment and winning on Saturday. It says a lot of it, too, has to do with Tyler. Here's a young man that I have said all along that's the next Johnny Velasquez. He's a guy that Gary Barber and I have just extreme faith in. He's written, already won some big races for us. And he was put in a situation on Saturday that he could have panicked, but he didn't, and he showed his greatness. We already knew it was there. The world got to see it on Saturday.
Last one, as we're up against the end of the show, and I don't want you to speak for anybody here. Has Gary Barber brought up the $5 million challenge to you?
We laughed about it. Because if you look at the $5 million challenge, it's actually a bet. It's just a bet. And we're at some point in time, we would like to see a rematch, probably in neutral ground somewhere. But right now we have the Belmont to concern ourselves with.
Saratoga's lovely in August, just so you guys know.
I was just gonna say to you, we will let, you know, obviously the Haskell is their home court. Saratoga is definitely not our home court. If you've seen our record there, Saratoga's eaten my lunch. But that being said, if both horses are healthy, I think Traverse would be a great place to meet. And it's not just, it wouldn't be just us. You know, there's some other great 3-year-olds out there. Hopefully Omaha Beach will be back. And I think for horse racing, what a day it could be. And that's what we would hope for. Gary Barber and myself, we love horse racing. And if there's something we can do to make it better and make more excitement around it, we're both for it. So, and you know as well, you know us, we like to run.
Yeah, you do. Mark, great job as always. Thank you again for some time today. Congratulations on that Preakness win, and we look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks here at Belmont Park.
Okay, thank you.